My name is Emma Bronta. I'm the interviewer. Our interviewee, our narrator, is going to be Amy Bressett. The interview is taking place over Zoom. Today is January 27th, 2022. And our relationship is friends. And I am going to confirm that the consent documents have been sent and signed. So the purpose of this project, COVID-19 Oral History Project, is a rapid response oral history focused on archiving the lived experience of the COVID-19 epidemic. The project is designed so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to the database. So the purpose of this is to preserve experiences of the pandemic in Canada, and in doing so, to allow future historians and students to learn about this time. So I'll start with the first question. It's kind of a multiple step question. So we'll start with, what do you recall about the start of the pandemic?
Start of the pandemic? That's a good question. So I was a student at the time, and I heard about the pandemic through a meme that a friend sent me about Corona. And I was like, what is this? What is Corona? Because it was somebody holding a beer and it was so stupid. I was like, I have never heard of this before. And she's like, you should probably look it up. So I did. And then I read about it a little bit. And then from there, I just remember kind of within, like, I heard about it 1 week, and then the next week, everybody was like, well, this seems pretty dangerous. We should probably shut down. And then within like 2 days, everything was shut down. And at the time, I remember me and everybody else that I was in contact with thought, oh man, like this lockdown, like we're not really supposed to see each other, but it's only going to last max a month or so. And I was working at Starbucks at the time, and that shut down as well. And I wasn't really scared at all. I was like, this is just routine. This will last not very long. And then after, I think like the second month, kind of like, oh, this is going on for a while. And then the third month and the fourth month. And I think probably after that second month, I started being like, I started realizing it was probably more serious than I had originally thought it would be. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely turned to be something that I don't think any of us expected really. And well, having been in this pandemic for 2 years and thinking back to what you originally thought, how has that changed?
Yeah, I guess now it's much more of a, okay, COVID is going to be like, whereas at first I was like, yeah, COVID is just a small thing that's going to start and stop. It's going to end. It's going to kind of like be a blip on the radar. And now my view of it is much more, okay, this is a global like pandemic, but like a global moment in history that will last for a very, very long time. And I think that's probably changed the fabric of our society in a lot of ways, and has changed a lot of people and the way that I think the world functions. So, you know, at first I thought it was just kind of like a short thing. Now it's like, oh no, this has changed history and the way that we will go on in society forever. And I don't think anything will ever be the same. And I think I went through ebbs and flows of the fear that I had attached to COVID. And I think right now I'm not that scared of it, especially since there's vaccines available. But I think still it's definitely, yeah, one of those things that is much bigger and all-encompassing and like more serious, I think, than I had thought originally, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously it's changed and is ended up being different from what you originally thought it was going to be, and has changed life for the future and everything, and how we interact with people daily. But why do you think things have turned out the way they have? And why do you think we got to where we currently are and will most likely progress towards?
A great question. I think there's a lot of different factors at play that kind of created the perfect storm to end up where we are now. Like there's social factors, there's political factors, and there's like scientific factors, I think. I think just in terms of like progressing and where we are now, where we're sort of like half open, half not, but it's not as scary of a thing. Like that's definitely for science. Like all of the people that have worked really hard on developing the vaccine and have worked hard on creating boundaries and guidelines for us to live as safely as possible. But I think also there's the social factors of just kind of the way that humans function. Like, I don't think humans are very like we're not really meant to live alone. And I think that's kind of reflected in like maybe cases rising, but also like our society looking kind of like it is, where it's like half in, half out, like a half changed, half not. You have half of the people who are really very diligent, I guess, about like quarantining and about not seeing people and about wearing their masks always, which is very good. But it's like there's a dichotomy between that and the people that really don't care. And I think most of us kind of lie somewhere in the middle. And that is a, like, it's, I'm like trying to think of the best way to say this, but I think that has shifted the way that our society relates to one another and treats one another, which also has a big impact on, I think, how the world works. And then kind of if you go from the political angle as well, like COVID kind of happened when there's a whole bunch of like political uproar both in the States and in Canada as well, less so, but, and I think the weaponization of COVID by politicians, I don't think should be underestimated either, and how that has changed how our society is also looking and why we are where we are, why things look how they look, and maybe why there's so much fear surrounding it. Like obviously COVID is a thing that we should be cautious about, and a lot of people have died, a lot of people have been impacted severely, and that's, I'm not underestimating that, but more just I think there's definitely a political factor in there where it has been, I think, used as a tactic to sway people's opinions, whether for COVID, against COVID, but in ways to support politicians, and that has also had a big impact. I don't, that was not a very succinct answer, but all that being said, I think there's a lot of factors that play into making our society right now look like it is, and our world look like it is right now because of COVID. Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it definitely did. And you know, I agree with you, and there's so many different factors involved, and definitely some with a greater influence over others, especially, you know, there's a lot of fear mongering with the media, and it's a hard balance of information that is really important, but also balancing how to not be overwhelmed by the constant flow, and headlines are written to grab your attention, to play on your emotions, right?
For sure. Actually, like you saying that has made me also think of another thing that has been super impactful of getting us kind of where we are now is technology, but not like vaccine technology, but like social media technology. Because more so now than really ever before, we have access to so much information at our fingertips. And this is something I was talking to a friend about the other day, is it's like no matter what your position is, you can find facts to back it up. Absolutely. No matter what it is, and it's at your fingertips, like with your phone or on your computer, you can find enough information and data to support whatever position you want. And I think that has also made this pandemic especially tricky, because critical thinking is not, I think, the skill of our generation or the generation before us, especially with all of this information at hand. And I think that has also created a lot of discourse, is that sure, there might be some like facts or information that can support a standpoint that might not be the most like scientifically accurate. But because of that, like it creates so much stress and conflict, and I think puts us back a lot more than where we would have been otherwise. Like you look at the States, where I don't know what the vaccination rate is now, but last time I checked it was like 60% or so, and I think it'd be way higher if it weren't for the transmission of information through social media and targeting people that are more apt to probably believe that vaccinations are gonna kill you or whatever. So that also definitely has had a huge impact on, I think, like where our society is right now in COVID. So,
and that's definitely the thing with conspiracy theories too, is they will get enough factual information that you think this is valid, and you get the from sources that you trust. So even going on Facebook, you might not necessarily trust Facebook, but they have links to news outlets that you do trust. So it's a perfect place to not, I'm not calling out Facebook or anything, But it's just those social media platforms have mm-hmm. links to websites that have a lot of factual information. And then mm-hmm. they'll sprinkle in the what ifs and mm-hmm. play on your fears and, oh, maybe the government is out to get you and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can totally call out Facebook because Facebook for sure should be called out because there's also some, I actually didn't watch it, but I was talking to my dad about it. There's this documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. And it was talking about how basically Facebook specifically, but all social media gears what information it sends to you based off of your previous interests. And it effectively just puts you in a vacuum. So my grandpa, for example, like at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm very thankful he's changed his mind, but at the beginning of the pandemic, he was questioning the vaccine and he was questioning the validity of COVID as a sickness and disease and all that sort of stuff. But a big part of that was because all of the information that he was getting on social media, which is where he would get most of scientific information at the beginning, was fed to him very specifically because the algorithm knows, like, oh, he's interacted with like very conservative and maybe a little bit of like questionable stuff before and he seemed to like it and interact with it, we'll just give him more. And then it just creates this vacuum where you are completely blinded to everything else. So of course you're going to believe it wholeheartedly if that's all of the information that's being given to you. And same thing on the other side too. Like I can't say it doesn't happen to me. I am thankful that from what I understand, my opinion that the vaccine is a valid thing. It's like the actual scientific and majority opinion, but it's still a real thing. Like social media creates vacuums for us, and that is dangerous when you have your in group and out group, and especially when it's over something that is life and death. Yeah, it's a wild time.
Definitely is a wild time. And I mean, you're very young, you're in your early 20s, right? Within your short lifespan, has there been any other health crises that you can think of that you have lived through and experienced in the past? And how does this current health crisis compare to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's actually, it's funny because I think there's been like three of them that I've lived through. So there was like H1N1 and the bird flu and the Zika virus, which were all like, I want to say when I was in my early to late teens. And it's funny because at the time I like heard about them, I was like, oh, this is a real thing that's happening and like could have negative consequences and people are getting sick. But at the time I had no fear about them. The world didn't shut down at all. And I think that's why I went into COVID being like, it's just going to be a month. Like, it's not a big deal because I had lived through those other things before. And granted, I was much younger. And that could be why I didn't process them as actual big, dangerous things at the time. But yeah, I think going into COVID, I had that preconception of, oh, we've had these things before. They haven't been a big deal. The world does not shut down. We'll be fine. You move on, you forget about it in like a month or two. So it's interesting because I guess there has been other like health pandemics before this that I've lived through in my lifetime, but just never processed them, never had any fear. Like they never impacted my life in really any way. So very, very interesting how different like those were compared to COVID. So
since COVID has affected your day-to-day life, what does a typical day look like for you right now? And more specifically, what are like the big differences from mm-hmm. your life before the pandemic?
Great question. Well, I think it's interesting because I've had a lot of big life transitions since the pandemic has started. So I graduated university. I've moved in and out of different places on my own and moved cities at one point. Like there's been a lot of big sort of life transitions that I've had. So I'm sure that has an impact on why my life looks different now versus before. But now like a day to day that I work at home, which I don't think I would have had the opportunity really to do before the pandemic. Cause before that, the company that I am working for, they were all office and now they've transitioned to mostly at home, which is great for me because they're stationed in the US. So this is a job opportunity I wouldn't have had before. And also looks different in terms of going out and just doing fun activities that I just really can't do anymore. And that really sucks. Like one of my favorite things to do is go sit at a coffee shop and drink my coffee and study. And that has been a very on and off thing that like hasn't really been awarded to any of us really because of COVID. So there's that. And yeah, so like day to day, the opportunities, I guess, have been different. Also, to hanging out with people and spending time with people has been different. Like I double, hopefully soon to be triple vaccinated. So, and so are all of my close people. So I've been fortunate enough to open up a social circle of my bubble and be safe about it, but to have that access to people, which is nice, but not in the same capacity as it was before. Like a small group at church, for example, would have been meeting in person before and having fun and like doing games nice and all that stuff. And that's just like not accessible to us right now. So day to day is like a mix between happy because opportunities for jobs and sad because my access to people and ability to build relationships is so limited just because of like online. Zoom is not a great, always the best platform to do that in. So yeah. I think there's also too like the impact of not having much to look forward to, if that makes sense. Like for example, before the pandemic, you have, oh, we're going to go to a concert, or we're gonna, you know, go to the museum, we're gonna hang out as a group, we're gonna go on a vacation. Like I feel like before the pandemic, there is just things to look forward to, and right now, although it's, you know, going on vacations aren't day to day, like I think it still has a big impact on people's spirits and how they move through life. Cause when you don't have much to look forward to, it's not, I don't know. Like, I just don't think there's as much pep and I know my step for sure. And it's, yeah, sometimes disappointing being like, okay, we're just in survival mode. Like we're just posting and I'm not doing horribly. Like I'm blessed to have people around me and I'm blessed to have a full-time job, but also I'm just okay. Like I'm not great. There's not much I'm looking forward to. And that is hard. And I think that's impacting people a lot more than they realize for sure.
Well, especially being 2 years into this and, you know, you want to plan a big trip, even if it's like a staycation, you want to be able to plan those. But mm-hmm. even in planning that, it's difficult because you could have to cancel. Mm-hmm. There've been so many waves and it's not safe to be traveling and all that. Yeah. So because you've been working remotely and at your house a lot, do you find you're spending more or less time outside?
Way less time for sure. I mean, before, like even throughout the pandemic, I had a couple of different jobs. So I worked at Starbucks for one and then I worked at the drop-in center for the other job. And those are both like outside of my home. So that was cool. But now that I'm working from home, I stay at home and then sometimes I'll venture outside to go to my car to get groceries and then I'll come back. And I mean, I think this summer might be a little bit different. Hopefully, but I know for the winter, like people are already cooped up, but I think especially working from home, there's definitely days where I don't interact with the outdoors, which is sad. Like that is hard, especially when, you know, you start the day and the sun is just coming up. Then when you end the day, the sun has gone down and it's freezing and you can't really go hang out with anybody. So yeah, it's definitely a lot more time at home, less time outdoors for sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you think because we're in winter, that is mostly impacting your time inside versus time outside, or working from home in the pandemic in general that has impacted the frequency you leave your house?
I want to say it's just winter, but in like all actuality, probably not. Like I definitely feel like, because when you stay at home, I also think something that the pandemic has really created and made people different in the way of, it takes a lot more energy, at least for me, it takes a lot more energy to go outside now. Like whereas before I could spend literally an entire like 14-hour day outside of my home and then come home, obviously be tired, but like could sleep and then be ready to go the next day. Now a 2-hour outing is like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. Like that was horrible. I just need to go take a nap now. And I think that's just because we're creatures of habit and our bodies adapt pretty quickly. And that definitely also plays a role in it too, is that my body's just not equipped like it was before to go out and to interact with the outside world and people and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, as much as I want to say it's the winter, and I'm sure that is definitely an impact. It's probably a lot more just the pandemic and working from home really than anything else. So
that's very relatable, honestly. So you said that you leave your house to go get groceries and do errands and such. Have you been getting groceries since the beginning, or have you had to get someone else to get it for you, or click and collect, or ordering groceries? Like how have you found getting your necessities throughout the 2 years?
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I've been lucky enough to just be able to go do it myself. I know at the beginning of the pandemic, I live only a couple doors down from my partner. and his roommates who were my friends too. And he had a car at the time and I didn't. So at the very beginning, I'm pretty sure I would go shopping for my household for like me and my roommates, and he would go shopping for his household. And we'd just go together. But at various times throughout the pandemic, I've definitely relied on, say, like Amazon more than usual. Like I still get all of my necessities at the grocery store and the physical one, but there's a lot of things that I think otherwise I would have probably gone out to search for that I don't anymore. I'm like, ah, Amazon's got it. I'll just go with that. So yeah, so I've mostly been able to go out and just get my own things, but still with an acknowledgement that I for sure probably rely on online shopping more than I did before, whether that's for convenience or also for like accessibility. So yeah.
So what are you finding that you do in your spare time?
I think that's a question. Well, I think now that things are a little bit less crazy and the regulations aren't as strict, actually most of my spare time I spend with either my best friend or my partner. But I also have picked up a lot of hobbies throughout the pandemic that I probably wouldn't have otherwise, just because when you have a lot of time to yourself, what else are you going to do? Because eventually you can only watch so many Netflix shows and you get bored after a while. So I, you know, have taken up more crafting. Like I've started embroidery and sewing during the pandemic, and that's been really fun. Music has also been something to pass the time, video games as well. Just got a new Switch, and that was an exciting purchase to, you know, keep my mind occupied. Yeah, so kind of a lot of different things, but a lot of the hobbies I definitely picked up during the pandemic for sure, which is kind of cool, I guess, looking back on it now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. One, and you actually have time to do those. That's great. And mm-hmm. Is there anything that you miss pre-pandemic?
Oh, so many things. It's funny. I think I miss, well, there's a whole bunch of things. It's funny because I don't know if necessarily my day-to-day, like, although there's been opportunities that have been allowed to me, like working remotely, that I probably wouldn't have had if it weren't for the pandemic. Like, I don't know if my day-to-day looks entirely different in terms of the things that I normally do. Like, I still go hang out with like my best friend and my partner, and I work and do hobbies and stuff. But I think what I miss the most is just being able to see people guilt-free. Like I miss just being able to message a like old friend of mine, acquaintance I haven't seen in a year, and be like, hey, let's go out for coffee. Cause now there's a guilt associated with that of like, how many people am I interacting with? I need to be careful about that. And I miss not being afraid when I see people. Like I miss the days where I could like get together in huge groups of like 20 and just talk to people and have fun and meet new people and just kind of be worry-free in that way. Cause now there's a whole added pressure and then added heaviness and responsibility and barrier as well. So I think those are the things I miss the most. Like it's funny now when I watch Netflix or whatever, and I see, you know, groups of people, I'm like, where's your mask? Like, wear your mask. And that's my gut reaction. Or like when there's scenes of people close together, strangers, my gut reaction is be like, oh my gosh, get away, back up. And that's strange because I am such a social person. I love connection. I love hugging people. And that is not as easy to do. So I think that's really the main thing that I miss. And also not having to wear a mask because masks are uncomfy. Yeah, it's like a whole nother layer of, it's funny because I think like before the pandemic, there's always a lot of things to consider. Like, okay, do I have the time? Do I have the money? Do I have the resources to go do these things, to spend time with these people? And I feel like that was enough. But now having that whole, yeah, like added layer of the fear or the guilt or whatever, and also like having that and projecting it onto other people or even like friends, and you see Instagram stories of people gathering in groups and having parties and you're like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. It's like it's a strange thing and like a strange added weight that was not there before. That isn't huge. Like I said, like I'm not necessarily super afraid of the COVID pandemic. Like when I go out, I'm not constantly living in fear that I'm going to catch COVID or fear that I'm going to die from COVID, because if I catch it, it is what it is. And I'm also not like carrying a constant fear of seeing people either, but it's the added weight that wasn't there before. That's still like a nagging thing in the back of your mind that I think adds pressure and impacts people's mental health more than they give it credit for sure.
Absolutely. So you mentioned you don't really have a fear right now, which is good and it's healthy. And I think for your own mental health, it's a good thing because you're still being safe, but also living in constant fear is not good for anybody. Did you find that has changed throughout the pandemic? Like at the beginning, was there fear or have you kind of been more comfortable just with your surroundings and such?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the beginning, at the very beginning, I didn't have any fear. Kind of like I said, I was like, this is nothing. It'll pass soon enough. It's fine. And then probably like 3-4 months in, I started developing a much bigger fear. And it wasn't for myself necessarily, because like when you think about it, I'm in the ideal situation. Like I'm young, I'm relatively healthy. Like my chances of dying of COVID are pretty low. And I always knew that. But what I was afraid of was giving it to somebody that I care about that is not in my position, like my parents who are over 50, or my grandparents, or my friends that are immunocompromised. And that was really where my fear was. It wasn't for myself, but it was for the people around me and the people that I care about, and not being able to go see my parents for Thanksgiving and give them hugs and spend time with them. Like they're my major social support, and not being able to do those things because I was afraid of them getting sick because of me was hard. But like now that we have vaccines and that getting COVID, although sucks and like not a great idea, is not near as life threatening anymore, like has definitely subsided a lot of my fear. For sure. So it's been an ebb and flows, but I think now I feel like pretty justified in not being super afraid for my life, which is good. So.
That is good. And you mentioned your family and friends, and what is their mood or feelings towards the pandemic? And how do you think they're responding to the virus?
It's varied for sure. I think most of my friends, you make friends with people that are like you. So I think most of the people in my circles are very similar to me in that like vaccines are out, we don't have big needs to be scared, which is good. But I definitely see in all of them disappointment about the pandemic, not so much fear, but just sadness and a heaviness. Like a lot of my best friends have gone through huge transition in their life during the pandemic, and that's made it so difficult. Like for example, one of my best friends got married during the pandemic, and that was something that was super exciting for her and her husband, but they could only have 11 people at the wedding, and that sucked. And I remember when we were getting ready to do her bridal shower, she was so disappointed because she just wanted to be, you know, showered in love and excitement from people that she loves, and that just like wasn't accessible. Or even my dad, where he was planning a huge family vacation for all of us to go to Italy. And that was supposed to happen last year. And obviously that didn't happen. They were planning to have it this year in the spring. But that's also a thing, like it's not going to happen. And I think I see the impact of not having anything to look forward to the most in him, which is funny because he's normally a very, very, like he's not fazed by much. So that's saying something. So I think it's varied across everybody in my life in terms of their response to the pandemic. Like my grandparents don't seem to mind very much, but I think generally it's pretty similar to me in the fact of like, they're not living in fear, but it's still something that has negatively impacted a lot of their life and is just a weight that they carry around and have to consider that they didn't have to before. So
that makes sense. It's good that, you know, you've surrounded yourself with people who take it seriously and who understand the gravity of it, but who are also still able to live life and find the good where they can.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It's like, it's a fine balance between being conscious and aware and wise about it, but also not letting it completely destroy your life, because there is a fine balance between weighing, you know, the safety of COVID versus your mental health. And I think during the pandemic, mental health has been a conversation that has been had more than maybe it had before, because a lot more people were experiencing like pretty bad mental health, because when you're isolated, that kind of happens. And that has been a really positive thing to get out of it. But I still see, like, I still have friends that choose to not see anybody at all, and that's their choice, but their mental health is suffering. And I have friends that have chosen to not care at all. And it's disheartening because it makes you feel like the sacrifices that you are making are in vain, because other people are just messing it up. So you're taking away all of these experiences and seeing the people that you care about the most for sometimes it seems like very little because other people are like spreading the virus regardless. And that's hard. Like that's a hard thing to like that causes burnout so quickly. And I think like especially now in our second year and having just had it was like a month or two ago having kind of more strict guidelines being established in Ontario, like you could see the burnout in people because they're like, I'm so done with this. Like we've done this for 2 years and half of these people aren't taking it seriously. So why the heck should I? And I've definitely fallen into that camp before and it's hard.
You were saying you used to work at the Starbucks and the drop-in center. So when you were there, how do you think your coworkers were feeling about the work you guys were doing? How were you feeling, especially your front line, and what affected that feeling?
Yeah, so at Starbucks, it was very different between the two. So Starbucks, I remember they were very good and they shut down, I want to say for a month and a half, like the entire, all stores except for drive-through shut down. And I wasn't at a drive-through at the time. So I didn't have to work for a month and a half. It was still paid, which was phenomenal. But I remember going back, they were very careful about very, very gradually opening things up. So they didn't open everything up at first. Like they were like, okay, you only have one customer in the store at a time and they have to wait outside and wear a mask and blah, 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 blah. But I do remember like me and my coworkers, especially when like mask mandates were made and people would come in refusing to wear a mask. It was one of those things where you feel like, are we seriously here risking our lives right now for you to have coffee and for you to treat me subhuman because you want your fancy latte? Like, is this really worth risking my life? But like, I also need to pay my rent. So there's that too. And that was definitely, I think, a huge thing. And Starbucks was very good about it. But I remember looking at other coffee shop workers like Tim Hortons or grocery store workers or people like that and having a lot of friends that were those workers and being like, we're getting paid minimum wage to risk our lives. These people cannot function without us, but we're not seeing any sort of compensation for that. And that was really hard. Yeah, that was frustrating. And then at the drop-in center, it was a whole nother added layer because it's really important because you're kind of the front line for a lot of people to have food, to have shelter, to have access to showers. Like we're oftentimes the only place where people could go to get their essential needs met. And I only worked there for 3 months and that was in the summer of 2021. So the vaccines were just rolling out at the time and things were opened up more than they had been. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, things shut down entirely and that was detrimental to so many of the clients. But I do remember feeling and my coworkers feeling overworked and unsafe. And it's hard, especially in that type of situation where it's like, these people obviously need us and we can't go anywhere and we shouldn't have to. Like these people obviously need to eat. They need to have showers. They need to have a place to use the washroom. They need to have a place to see each other. But because of all the restrictions, and I think because of the mental state of all of the clients as well, which is not great, especially because of the pandemic, it was hard. It was hard to come to work. It was hard to be there because our jobs had changed so much from what was once like a support center to being just an essential service, which doesn't sound very different, but it's huge. Like when you can't sit down with somebody who's having a mental breakdown because they can't pay their rent, like when you can't sit down with somebody to talk about that sort of thing and to hug them and support them, like that's hard. And I think that took a toll on everybody, like clients and me and my coworkers alike. So it's hard, but important too. Like one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm risking my life, but I'm risking it for something that seems important. And that is important. So that's, you know, it's double-edged sword for sure. Interesting. Cause I feel like retail workers and like anybody who works, you know, in customer job sort of thing, I think before the pandemic, we're always treated as human to begin with. But when you have the whole added level of I'm risking my life so that you can have access to these things and yet still to be not treated with respect. Like I remember when I was at Starbucks, there was a customer that came in and nobody else was in the store except for like us employees. They came in, they weren't wearing a mask and I asked them to put on a mask and they were like, why? Nobody else is here. And I'm like, what do you mean? There's five of us behind the counter. What do you mean nobody else is here? There's other humans here. And that's great. You want your oat milk latte? That's fantastic. I'd love to give it to you. But also, it's your responsibility to acknowledge that I'm risking my life right now. And I think more so than ever, the world is feeling it because there's not as many people who are working retail. There's a lot more people working at home and who are finding these opportunities because they're there and available. And they're struggling. Like, stores are struggling and restaurants are struggling to find employees, and product chains are backed up because there's not as many people to deliver the things. And it's because once you stop treating people like humans for so long, especially when their lives are at risk, like, mm-hmm. you're only going to get so far. And it's interesting how much I think our society is starting to notice how important those workers are and how undervalued they are. Cause like, the world can't function without people that will bring in your groceries. Like, the world cannot function without people who will serve you coffee. It's funny, but it's true. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's big. Yeah. It's like, we're all just trying to do our best right now. Like, go easy.
Exactly. So now the vaccine has been out for almost a year, I think.
I guess so, eh? Yeah.
Or at least when our age group was allowed to get the vaccine, it was the summer of 2021. So it's been almost a year. How has the vaccination changed your everyday life and or view of the pandemic?
It's, well, there is multiple ways, I guess. So it changed my own life in a lot of ways. Like, obviously that fear piece that we kind of talked about earlier, I don't walk around and live my life in the world as afraid as I did before. And I also, because of the vaccine, have been able to see the people that I love and spend time with the people that I love without being afraid that I'm going to kill them, which has been nice. So I can see my parents, my grandparents, without a fear that I'm going to pass something on to them that they can't fight off. In terms of changing the way that I kind of look at the pandemic in the world, though, it's tricky because I obviously the vaccine makes COVID less of a dangerous thing. But that being said, though, I think the vaccine has also made COVID more of a divisive issue than it was to begin with, which is funny because it was already sort of a divisive thing like at the beginning. But now, especially, like, you have people who will get a vaccine and people who won't. And they are two different camps. And I think more so than ever, people are at kind of war with each other because of that. And it's hard because it is a life or death issue. And when you have opposing views on things that carry so much weight to them, it's tricky and it divides the world. And I think it has maybe made me a little bit more pessimistic of the North America generally, which is kind of a bummer. But in my day-to-day life, it's been good. So
that's a good point. It definitely has made the pandemic more divisive. And we're definitely seeing now, one, people's true colors and kind of stubbornness, definitely, but also the effect that it's having, not only strain on the healthcare system, but also the recent convoy that was trying to be scheduled. I don't know where that's at right now, but in opposition, but to be fair, it's in opposition to mandates, not the vaccine itself. But yeah, it's definitely divisive, even within, I know families are seeing lines divided and see how far people are willing to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Because it's hard because I think before, like, North America was kind of already set up to be divided, like, especially with the 2016 election, like, that had a huge impact on dividing the world. But I think now when you add in the whole factor of like, oh, this is like literally life or death, makes it a lot harder. And I think it's dangerous. And I've been a little afraid at, not necessarily like, I love the vaccine and I think it's a great idea and I don't agree with people that don't want to get it, but I also am a little afraid at like the dehumanization of those people and vice versa. Like, I'm sure the dehumanization of people that have vaccines for the people that think that they are the devil's spawn. And that's something that I've been like consciously having to fight my own ego on, because I'm like, fighting is literally not gonna get us anywhere. Like, will I sit down to have dinner with you if you don't have a vaccine? Probably not. But also, is this cause to see you as subhuman? Also probably not. And how do we balance those lines of like loving people and being compassionate humans and doing our best to help each other out with also like, I'm just gonna like separate you a little bit because you're a danger to me and other people that I love. So it's a hard thing to navigate for sure. And how to do it well, I'm not quite positive yet, but we'll get there, I'm sure.
So those are all the questions I have for you. But do you have any questions, comments, anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so. This has been so cool. I've enjoyed this. Yeah. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for being interviewed, being our narrator. It was very interesting to hear your point of view and your experience.
Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. This is so fun.